One day sucking thunder.
One day literally has a beach and then like that's it.
Can you imagine any other country having the beach that like Bondi has and just shutting down at like 9 p.m. every night?
So
it doesn't happen. Like everywhere else in the world, it's like, all right, we're open now to like 3 a.m.
What do you mean they shut the beach?
As in like because it's a residential area.
They shut everything around.
Everything around the beach is closed. Okay. Whereas you go to like any other country in the world where they have a huge landmark and everything around it remains open because people want to go there.
It's kind of like a reflection of what Australia is as well. Like we close early.
Mm.
You know, that's the best thing about the States when if you want to do something at any time
or Europe.
Of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Europe, exactly.
Like in New York City, everything's up. Like I have dinner at like 11 p.m.
I mean, it's different in like St. Louis and shit.
Wagamama.
Yeah.
Wagamama.
Near the Flatiron.
Wagamama is a London thing, isn't it?
It's a chain.
Is
really but like we went to one in New York, so let us have it.
Oh, so now it's in New York.
Let us have it.
Sorry to ask a basketball question. Silly.
No, please. I'd like to use all of that. As usual.
Carmelo, is he on the Hawks salary cap or the Rockets?
Who? Melo.
Yeah.
Foie.
I think they paid him out, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they paid him out.
Yeah.
Like if you go to Hoops Hype.
Essentially,
has he got him in gray at the bottom?
He's getting the money he was owed in his final year at the Thunder.
Which is 25.5.
But the Rockets aren't paying it. The Hawks paid him out.
Yeah, okay. That's why
he's
on. Yeah, because he's on the Hawks team list in terms of salary cap.
Yeah, because I'm guessing they've expended that money already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm.
There you go.
25.5. What's the opposite of value for money?
It's just McDonald's hash browns. That's exactly what. Let me get me started.
Carmelo's a big old hash brown.
And we begin. Let's begin.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello and welcome to a podcast that now has a name, correct?
What is it?
Oh, yeah.
So this, you know, Fox Sports Australia presents Brick by Brick.
Hey.
This is our official NBA podcast. I'm Olga Nulich. I write about basketball for this website. So does Gardy. Say hello, Gardy.
Hello, everyone.
Everybody else, introduce yourselves once again.
Harrison Pullinger.
Hey, I'm Ted Smith. Hey,
greetings.
The last name.
I am Tom Handley.
Hey, and, you know, we're coming off a few pretty intense days of basketball. It's been a bit crazy. Like, we've seen a whole lot happening. You know, we're coming right off the Warriors-Jazz game, which was a spectacle. That was a crazy contest.
The Joe Ingles show.
Score 80 points and a half and lose.
Yeah. Coming off that, obviously, for Australians, Joe Ingles was incredible. That was so much fun to watch. And then, of course, ended as we all expected with a
Jonas Derebko tip in.
Yeah. So that was.
Hold it.
So the Warriors celebrated like they won a championship.
Yep. Steph Curry was definitely more excited by the Derebko tip in than he was by winning his third title.
Real quick, his name is pronounced Jonas Derebko.
Oh, my apologies.
Which is what we learned yesterday as well. Mm. So,
sorry to our Swedish audience.
Yes. So, Jonas Derebko with that tip in to win that game. And, you know, that capped off a crazy, you know, stretch of games that we've had. So I want to start it with Gardy.
Hello.
Hi, Gardy. You know, from what we've seen so far, what have you enjoyed most? There's been a lot of action.
Yes. The thing I liked the most was just kind of just watching the Phoenix Suns be really fun. Devin Booker is obviously he's a legit star in the league. And then just their additions like Ariza and Ayton like, are the real deal in that starting lineup. Ariza adds a lot defensively to them. And then you have Josh Jackson and TJ Warren coming off the bench. Obviously, it's just one game. Obviously, it was against the Dallas Mavericks.
It's the Mavericks.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to say that they're going to be a good team in the West, but they're going to be fun to watch, and they're going to be very competitive against a lot of good teams, I think.
Definitely not a joke anymore where they have been the last couple of years in terms of being competitive. With the addition of Ariza, which is one of the things I do like about the season so far, the acquisition of him in that Suns team, just adding to what Gardy said, that they are no joke anymore. You have to play well to beat them. It's going to be tough for them to make the eight in a really competitive
West is stacked.
Yeah. Like who do you drop out if a team like Phoenix are going to get into a final spot? But I think they're going to be in the conversation after Christmas. They're going to be floating around.
You think so?
I think they'll be like, you know, around 500. So
really?
Yeah.
I see them more as a team down the line. They have a Devin Booker who is pretty established star, I guess, and DeAndre Ayton is just as budding a superstar as there is.
He's already a full grown man. Like he's
so talented.
He's ready for the NBA. Like question marks around his defense coming into the league, they're warranted. Struggles to make reads off the pick but I think he'll get better as the year goes on. Like he cares. He really wants to win straight away, which is the main ingredient for a rookie to improve. So I think, you know, Guardy's nailed it. Phoenix are going to be really fun this year.
And the game's just gotten easier for Booker as well, just because there's more options now. So he doesn't have to be the dude taking 30-foot threes and that sort of stuff.
Are they going to be hurt by not having, like, a legit point guard?
That's what I was about to say. Isaiah Cannon as your starting point guard is not a good start. He's not even a good backup, to be honest.
Okay.
It's just being real. So I don't know if they sort that out this season or they sort it out next, but it is something that needs to get sorted out eventually.
Don't mean to take this full back to DeAndre Ayton, but I was thinking the other day.
Do it.
And there's this, like, it's always been the talk of the unicorns over the last few years, you know, like Paul Zingas, Anthony Towns. Is DeAndre Ayton, like, the final form of the unicorn?
No.
No? We're not done yet there? Because he's this, like, this intimidating figure, and it's, like, he's already so much more powerful looking than Paul Zingas, Karl Anthony Towns. Joel Embiid's probably up there with him. Like, I think he's
just a really, really talented big man who just has an NBA body.
Mm.
I think he's just Joel Embiid.
But he can stretch the floor
without the defense.
Actually something I wanted to ask. Fast forward 4 years or four seasons, Embiid, Ayton. Is Ayton better than Embiid is now?
Mm.
His passing is unbelievable. He had 6 assists.
It's the defense, I think, that will stand in it if he can improve his defense.
The other thing you've got to remember is Embiid's a fair bit older, but he's probably played basketball for far fewer years. Like Embiid started when he was quite old. So he's still...
Well, so did Ayton, I'm pretty sure, as well. I think he was quite late to the game. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can see it with Embiid, though. With Embiid, he's just a black hole. As soon as you feed into the post, it's just like it doesn't leave there. It's just tunnel vision to the rim. And you know, when he's double teamed, stuff like that, you can tell that he doesn't have the wherewithal of some other players.
And the games where he does make those good decisions out of those double teams, Philly look unstoppable.
Yeah.
And that's going to develop over the next couple of years. So it's hard to tell where Embiid can actually finish off, because I don't think he's close to what he's going to end up as.
Yeah. No, I don't. I just mean 4 years down the track.
I think it's like, that's a legit question.
Yeah. Mm. Are we going to be looking at Ayton and saying he's the best big?
Well, how much does Ayton need to improve on the defensive end? Because, like, Embiid's one of the short price favourites to win Defensive Player of the Year, and he already has the offense. If he improves from behind the arc a little bit, then he's a proper stretch five as well. So, as well as getting into the post. Like, do you think Ayton will have the ability to be in the chat for one of the best defensive players in the competition? Because I think that's what he has to do before he can rival Embiid as being an all-round NBA superstar.
I didn't think his defense was that bad. Like, it wasn't good, and like his timing was a little bit late, but I think Ariza is going to help with covering up his mistakes a lot.
Yeah.
Booker's not great defensively. Josh Jackson is a really nice defender.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think they'll be able to cover him while he learns the ropes. I don't think he's going to be a bad defender.
I don't think he's like, I don't think we're saying he's like a liability. It's just Joel Embiid is like a huge plus on the defense.
Yeah, he's one of the best already.
As in, like, DeAndre Ayton has so much potential defensively, but he's nowhere near irredeemable. That's the point. Like, he's not a terrible defender.
No,
I feel like
that's
what we're saying.
He's heaps scary. Which helps. Like, I'm not driving to that hoop, baby.
One thing with that Suns team. So we say the numbers 7-6, 7-7, and 3. That was like the assist. If you go down the starting lineup of every starting member of the starting five, so 7-6, 7-7, and 3, which is crazy. You don't see that on any team really. And so I guess that's like the eagle caucus.
They also hit 19 threes I think from 34 attempts, which isn't going to happen again. Like, obviously, yeah, that first game was about as good as I reckon they're going to look this year. That's like their peak for 2018. But but they are going to be a legit fun team in the West, and they are going to be competitive. So yeah, that was the one thing I liked from the early slate.
One more side note: I'm pretty sure Ayton got more assists than Doncic in that match.
Ooh, okay.
No one saw coming.
Okay, but let's not. One game in.
Okay.
Tom Hanley.
Yeah.
Would you take out this week? Would you enjoy?
What did I enjoy?
Like, few days of games.
I've struggled to say that I enjoyed it.
What?
But the thing is, it's something that intrigued
me. Tom's a fun guy.
Yeah. It was something that intrigued me yesterday. Was just the sheer like offensive explosion that happened yesterday. Like, you look at some of the scores from yesterday's games.
Yesterday was crazy.
Yeah, it was like 120, 88, 129, 149, 123, 131, 124, 123. Like, there's just some huge, huge scoring. And I took a little bit of a deep dive, kind of dipped into some historical relevance to see if we can make sense of all this.
Throw it at us.
All right.
Basketball all right, reference ready? Scouring.
Mm-hmm. You dove deep.
Okay. Are you ready?
This better be good.
Hey. All right, so yesterday there were 9 games. There were a total of 2,080 points scored. That's 231 points per game.
Sure.
Collectively.
How many, sorry?
Thanks for the magic.
231 points per game
overall.
Collectively.
Yeah, sure.
Collectively.
Yeah.
10 years ago, on the same point in the season, so 4 days into the season, yep. November 1st, 2008,
yep.
4 days into the season, there were 14 games. There were 2,682 points scored at 191
what's
points
that,
per
what's
game.
That collectively, Tom?
That is collectively.
Okay.
Yeah, so they scored at a clip of 40 more points per game yesterday than they did 10 years ago on the same day.
There we go.
Inflation. And I found the reason for it. Because all the talk has been about the rising
chances
of... I wish
the viewers
could
see your hair.
I'm getting my hand talking going. So... everyone knows that the NBA is shooting a lot more three-pointers. That's no secret.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until yesterday that I finally understood when I started looking at this
There's
stuff.
There's so much writing in that book.
How many more? Yeah, I didn't have much to do last night. I was pretty lonely on a Saturday night as a 26-year-old, so I took a little deep dive into the NBA.
So everyone who's not here, the four of us, so Ted Harrison, myself, and Gutty, sitting around a table. Tom's mic is connected to the machine over there, so he can't sit at the table.
Yeah, I'm sitting over here. Steven Glansberg.
First leap of the podcast.
So he's sitting over there just on his lonesome with this book full of writing that we can't comprehend.
So continue, many though, numbers. Please.
Continue.
There's even more on the other side.
Oh, what are you doing? Continue.
Just in case you need to
finish the thought.
So yesterday,
yep.
Over the 9 games, there were 557 threes taken. At 61.8 a game.
Yeah.
On the same day in 2008, there were only 455 across 14 games. That's 32. That's half, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Just under half.
So the big statistical takeaways there were the like 40 points more per game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just so everyone knows, Ted is now making
twice as many three.
I'm trying to keep up with this babble.
Yeah.
The most unnecessary note-taking of all time.
And twice as many threes.
I promise this is never going to come up again.
Mate, when you say how much work Tom's done, who am I to not... not
and the interesting thing is that 2008 was just the year before Steph Curry came into the league.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he came in and it's the three-pointers per game have doubled in the 9 years that he's been there.
He's a game changer. League.
Do you guys want to hear some of the notable names that were the best three-point shooters on that night?
I think we've got to wrap up.
As long as it goes.
There's some good ones in
Thank
here.
Thank you for joining us.
There's some good ones in this here. Let's take a little trip down memory lane, shall we?
This is why we call it brick by brick, by the way.
Just tossing up bricks. Maybe just clang, clang.
Brick
I'm going to build a house with all these bricks.
Yeah, go. Hit us. Keep going.
All right, so Thaddeus Young shot 4 for 6 that night for the Sixers.
Wow. Wait, which night?
This night, November 1st, 2008.
Okay, yeah,
Thaddeus Young.
Yeah.
Eddie House shot 1 for 7.
Eddie House. I like Eddie House.
Yeah. Michael Redd shot 1 for 6.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Michael Redd. Jamario Moon hit 3 of 6 that night. What a game.
Inhuman rebound.
What a game.
Yeah.
Delonte West hit 4 of 5.
Ooh, yep. Okay.
One name that we never hear of anymore, Brandon Roy. Shot two for six. Man.
I mean, there's a reason we don't hear him at Dunk. Don't bring it up. Like, yeah, no. It's got no knees.
It's a sore sport. And Rashad Lewis, three of eight from that night.
Yeah.
And the most telling fact, Ray Lewis, Ray Lewis, he plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
Ray Allen, the second best three-point shooter of all time, only shot one for three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, only shot 3 3-pointers that night.
Yeah.
Only played 28 minutes as well.
So what's your big takeaway?
It was just more putting into perspective how much the league has changed over the last 10 years. And yesterday was the first day that it just hit me. I checked my phone. I didn't actually see many of the games. Checked my phone and looked at the scores, and I was like, holy shit, like, what's going on? Like, this is so many points.
Tom's auditioning for his own segment.
imagine if the Magic had made any of their shots yesterday. Stats would have been even wilder.
Yeah, it would have been wilder.
For that.
Even more wild, yeah.
Shout out to Orlando.
Yep.
Ted's drawn some faces on his...
Sorry, Harrison.
Just while his...
Yeah, I wasn't really taken down.
They scored 10 points in the first quarter, Harrison. They were the lowest scoring team yesterday.
Yeah. So, Tom, that's what you liked from...
I know. That's why I was... sorry, to bring it all into...
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bleep.
I was trying to reason whether or not this is a good thing or not. Like, is this change in offense good? Is it for the better of the league, or is it becoming too much? Run down the floor, jack a three, crash a rebound, chuck it down the other court, jack another three, just back and forth like that.
I mean, like, if you want to...
the essence of basketball.
I mean, like, if you want to go into it from, like, a business standpoint, I think it's better for the league. Mm. I think offense is sexier than defense.
Yeah.
To the general fan. To, you know, quote unquote basketball purist.
Yeah, but is it the best kind of offense? Just shooting up a three.
Yeah,
or is
as in like statistically,
it's been proven. That's why they keep doing it.
And moving
it
around.
It's been proven
that it scores the most points.
It's like scoring in the paint or scoring the mid range. You're shooting at like 60-odd% ish. Mm. 3-pointers you're hitting 40, so you're still going to come out on top by the end of the game. Whereas if you've got a guy, let's say Embiid becomes more efficient in the post, or Simmons starts posting up the smaller point guard and becomes super efficient and starts hitting 8 to 10 from the low block, 7 to 10 from the low block. Then you've got an opportunity where you're slowing the game down, you're taking the Warriors out of their game plan, and you're scoring really efficiently from down low.
There's a reason why analytics has become so big. Because analytics dictates that shooting 3-pointers is
enough,
the more
the
effective way.
Warriors only shot 19 threes yesterday.
They did.
Yeah, and the Jazz put up 46.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, though,
like, it's not 46. That's anecdotal. It's not just a foolproof thing that, shoot more threes, you win. Mm. But just from an analytics standpoint, you know, statistically, you're better off. Mm. You're more likely to get a win if you shoot more 3-pointers. That's the reason why the Rockets do what they do and why the Sixers do what they do, just because they have really intense analytics departments who tell them these things.
And plus, you have a look at what Toronto did last year. I know the coach got fired, but they did come first in the East. They changed the way
played from the year before. Yeah,
exactly. And that was because they were one of the last teams to die with that old fashion of playing. But eventually came to the rest of the league. And
the other thing is,
got to put threes up.
Golden State are as good as they are because Steph, KD, and Clay all shoot the mid-range as well as anyone in the league. So they're not just relying on that deep ball.
Yeah, so is it the teams that can adapt their game? So when they need to shoot the three-pointer, they do, or when they need to mush out a little bit of mid-range.
Yeah, KD was a beast in the mid-range against Utah yesterday.
We always forget how good KD is.
Mm. Yep.
As in, like, he's never in the conversation for best player in the world. Ooh. Like, he just never, everyone...
He is.
But as in, it's always just LeBron is, like, so far ahead above everyone, but I don't think it's I think it's really close.
You forget about the things that he can do that no one else can do. Like, you forget that it's a 7-footer when he's like just cutting
he's
through
a
an
proper
offense.
He's like 7-1.
Back to our 2008 stats dive. Sorry, I had to mention this before.
You have to.
The Thunder that night with KD and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
In 2008, only shot 4 threes that game. Only four.
As a team.
KD didn't. Yeah, as a team. Only shot four. Didn't make a single one. Only shot four.
That is like genuinely impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell Westbrook had one. He's coming off the bench that game behind Earl Watson.
who has better handles out of KD and Ben Simmons?
Ooh.
Probably KD.
KD's got the better one, but I think Ben looks smoother doing it.
Ben's better. Like with.
There's a difference between like handles and being a point guard.
Yeah. Yeah, but like just taking the ball on the fast break. I think Ben's more likely to go around the back twice or something, you know?
Yeah.
But Durant's so smooth for someone
it's
that's
ridiculous.
Like freakishly tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's apparently the same species as us, please.
All right, so we're gonna move on from that. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, I put a lot of work into that, guys. You should appreciate it.
Clearly, no, like it's there's so much writing.
Look
there.
At all the numbers. There's so much. I haven't done math in so long.
We're fully aware of the numbers.
I haven't done math.
We heard. If you want another Tom statistical segment, let us know.
Yeah,
we can organize that.
Tweet me. It's Tom Handley.
He is at It's Tom Handley.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, just a photo of his dad.
Yeah.
The best photo ever taken of my father. You beautiful man.
Okay, so Harrison.
Yep.
You like the Hornets.
I did. Did anyone watch the Hornets Bucks game?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I watched most of that game, yeah.
So Milwaukee was dominating and they were killing it by playing essentially five out. And I don't know what Budenholzer is playing here, but they've got Brook Lopez in the corner shooting threes.
Yep.
And then everyone just get out of the way and Giannis go to town. And there are a couple of plays where he was posting up Bridges.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Posted up Bridges and he's got all the time in the world because the other four guys can all shoot. Brogdon, not bad. Bledsoe can shoot. Middleton is great.
Brook Lopez.
And then Brook Lopez as well. Yep. And the Hornets coach, James Borrego, first-year coach, chucked out at the start of the fourth quarter five perimeter defenders to try and offset that. He rolled out the smallest small ball lineup you will ever see. He rocked up Kemba Walker at 6'1", Tony Parker at 6'2", Malik Monk at 6'3", Kid Gilchrist at 6'7", and Nick Batum at center at 6'8".
It's a cool lineup.
It's a really cool lineup.
It's like a proper death lineup.
Yeah, it was not something I expected to see. And they went on a 14-2 run. And
that game got close too. Yeah, the Bucks were up by like 20 at one point.
Almost erased a 20-point deficit in a quarter. By going super, super small. And, yeah, that was the thing that I probably loved the most from this season because that was just exciting. You don't expect to see Nick Batum playing the center.
Shout out to Kemba Walker for just being a great guy and a great basketball player.
Kemba Walker's been balling, hey?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
41 points in this game that Harrison's talking about.
Yeah, and he had 26 yesterday as well.
You'd take that. You would take that.
Mm.
Also, Malik Monk looks like he's about to be legit too.
Mm.
Like he was good at Kentucky, and it just didn't work for him last season. But like he's going to be that guy for them.
And I hate to rant about this again, but it didn't work because Steve Clifford, now coaching Orlando Magic, buried the poor man because he doesn't like rookies. So
there you go.
Shout out to
whack
Steve.
Your head.
Harrison hates bald people. He doesn't.
Let's go to Ted.
Hey, mate.
What did you like about this weekend? Or like this past week of NBA basketball? You liked a lot, hey?
Yeah, I did. Okay, so the Hawks, I hate them for one reason, and that reason is that they're going to come last, which means...
They're not good, yeah.
Which means the Kings aren't going to come last, which means Sixers won't get... Their pick, which means the Celtics will get it. So I hate the Hawks for being the worst team in the NBA. But I do like them because... Yeah, you ready for this name?
Yeah.
One, Travis Schlenk.
When you say it like that.
Travis Schlenk.
What do you like
about him? He's the GM.
GM of the Hawks.
Of the Hawks, right? And it's easy to say, okay, why would you like the GM of
Schlenk.
the ugliest team in the NBA? It's because... He's worked out the art of tanking. Like, they are going to suck. They are going to come last. They're going to have the most ping pong balls in the little ping pong ball machine at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But there's still a reason to go watch them. You got Trae Young, who's going to shoot from the hip all season. You got Vinsanity, right? Yeah.
And Lin Sanity.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So the Asian demographics going to be in there. I am Asian.
I see your Filipino.
I'm wearing a shirt. With a Filipino island, I mean, all 7,000 islands on it, actually.
Yeah.
It's a really big shirt.
There are 7,000 islands?
Over 7,000.
Wow.
We'll save that for that. The geography point.
Shout out to the Philippines. We as Australians forgive you.
Thanks. I would say. You know, Vince Carter, if you like the NBA, you like Vince Carter. I think that's safe to say. He's got heaps of fans. There's still a reason to go watch the Hawks suck, which they will do this year. So the art of tanking. Mr. Schlenk has figured it out.
Is Trae Young, RJ Barrett backcourt next year? That's putting bumps in seats.
Yeah, RJ Barrett's legit too.
That's an exciting backcourt.
But like RJ Barrett takes a ball. Like, for those who don't know, RJ Barrett's a projected number one pick for 2019. I think he takes a ball out of Trae Young's hands though. I think that's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah, is that
I like
bad?
That. No, let's go. Let's do it.
Run off.
Guys, we're going to Atlanta.
Lock it in now.
We're going to Atlanta. Yeah.
Schlenk. we're going to schlenk into his DMs. I'm waiting to use that one.
One more thing, Olgs, before we move on. Kat, I know we spoke a lot about him last week, but being ejected after 22 minutes. There's many ways you can go about relaying a message, but he clearly relayed the message that I'm not happy by just karate chopping and shoulder barging people for only 22 minutes of the game before getting ejected. I don't think if he made double digits in terms of points, it was only just.
Do you think he got mad that the fans booed Jimmy Butler and then they turned real quick and they started cheering him? So then they were on his side.
Yeah.
Because then at that point,
I'm not a shrink. I don't know what's going on inside his head, but it's definitely not right. It's a season opener. To get fouled out in 22 minutes, it's pretty full on.
Yeah, as in for a season opener, you're very aware of that. You're conscious of staying on the floor and like this is the first game of the season. Like, you know that.
Yeah. He just reminded everyone that he isn't happy, and he went about it in a weird way, but I kind of liked it. Karate chopping people. Get into it.
I want to throw out the team or the thing that I liked. I like the Pelicans a lot. Again, I know it's really, really early, and they put together like a weirdly outstanding and like probably just an anomaly of a performance against the Rockets, and then they played the Kings. So of course, but they have so many pieces. I just really, really like them.
Mirotić has been killing it to start the season.
He is probably, I assume at this point, he's probably leading the league in scoring.
He had 36 yesterday against the Kings.
I said this to you guys the other day. He needs to grow the beard back, though. He's got such a weak chin.
he's been unreal since he's been...
Yeah, maybe he's got a ride with it, I guess.
Mirotić playing so well, do you think that has anything to do with Davis? Like, is he improving the players around him? Like, he had 8 assists in that first game this year. Like, it's what you want. Everyone's talking about him as a possible MVP. He's definitely one of the top 2 or 3 favourites, along with LeBron James, I think, at the start of the season.
Yeah.
You know, is he the tide that's rising the boats around him as well?
Like, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, the biggest sell for him as MVP, the fact that he has turned into this player that's making everyone around him better. Yeah, so he's not just the best player on a team, but he's the best player on a team who is making the team win.
Exactly. Well, Holiday was like the 4th, 5th, or 6th best player.
Like Drew Holiday hasn't been amazing. Defensively, he's been incredible.
Yeah.
But just overall, he just hasn't played sexy. Well,
everyone's playing their best basketball.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even without the assists, though, with Anthony Davis he's one of the few guys in the NBA that is completely unguardable. No coach can come up with a defensive scheme to stop Anthony Davis. He can score from 3, spot-up shooter. He can score inside. He can take you on the low post, off the dribble. He is – you can't stop him.
Can you imagine 4 years ago saying, like, I can't wait until the Pelicans play the Jazz?
Yeah.
Because watching Davis go against Gobert, like, Seifel Tower is the only person that's going to be able to be like, let's rumble, bro.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. Embiid in the
Embiid East, Davis, we see
that's going to be juicy.
Juicy.
And the best thing is that, like, they're still relatively young, so we've got another – half a decade at least of looking forward to these matchups, because Davis is, I don't know, like, we haven't seen anything like him, I don't think. If he's playing like he has it's only the first couple of games, but if he keeps up this pace, plays this whole season like he finished last season, it's like, well, we don't have a comparison in terms of our lifetime.
It's Durant with a post game.
So he's the first iteration of big men who can be the best player on a team, on a winning team in this generation.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
He's the first one.
Yeah, like the Pokemon evolution of Shaq or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah. The thing that I actually didn't like about the Pelicans, in against Houston and probably in every important game that they're going to play this year, they run 8 deep. That's it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the Rockets did that last year in the Western Conference Finals.
It's weird to do to start a season, hey?
It is
one injury away from not being very good.
Touch wood.
They did go. They went nine deep against the Kings because they played Ian Clark as well, and he played really, really well
in a blowout win against
the Kings,
probably one of the worst teams in the NBA.
It's also like so. Firstly, like Etwan Moore is playing really well. Alfred Payton, big ups to him. He's just playing just. Really
can I ask what like?
And it's Schnez's new haircut.
The Elfrid Payton starting thing, that's taking the ball out of Drew Holiday's hands. Like, is that a good thing? Like, I know it's...
When he's posting triple-doubles, for sure.
Is it, though? Is a possession led by Elfrid Payton a better one than...
If you've got a guy that can lock down the best guard on a team...
That's the thing.
...and not expend all his energy bringing up the ball and you've got a true playmaker...
Especially because...
I still think it's a
and
waste.
And then he can step in when he needs to.
Yeah, I'd rather that balance...
I'll buy it because it's working for now.
Yeah.
And one more thing before we bail on the Pelks. Kudos for picking and sticking with the coach because they are a team that's improved a lot over the last 14, 16 months. And at this time last season, it looked like Gentry was on his way out from the Pelicans. Mm. So, you know, you look at teams chopping and changing coaches on the reg, sometimes it's worth picking and sticking.
Yeah, it's also because he's a boring coach. As in, like, there's nothing like crazily outstanding about Alvin Gentry, but
except for the fact that he looks like the bad guy from Ants.
I'm looking at his photo.
Don't trust
him. No, that's
so accurate.
Pretty accurate, isn't it?
that's so accurate. Ants.
Every single time I look at him, I'm like, I can't trust you. Yeah. You betrayed everyone.
It's.
Come for the basketball, exactly. Stay for the ants references.
I haven't seen that movie in years. I might do that this afternoon.
Okay. I'll come.
Just a little step into my life. That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Everybody, want to join? Tweet me later.
See how many threes they shot back in 2003.
All right, we're going to flip this. What did we not like? What did we think was just trash about this first week of basketball so far?
Melo.
You didn't like Melo.
I think in the preview podcast I said, like, let's give it 2 weeks. He might look good in that first 2 weeks.
Way to stick to your word.
No. I said it would come crashing down, but it might take 2 weeks. I was pretty much wrong.
It's been a game.
All of these takes are with the assumption that, we have nothing else to go off than the one game. But Melo came in off the bench, took one really long two, made it, then made a three that was kind of contested. And I was like, all right, these probably aren't the best shots for him, but he's making them.
And they're fun.
Then he went on to not make many more shots. So he went 3 for 10, had 9 points.
He can't D up either.
Yeah, his defense that was killing me.
Oh, exactly. He's a complete liability on the defensive end. Like, I just don't get the Melo thing at the Rockets, a team that was based off analytics and running the floor, and then they just go and get a dude that can't really...
It's the banana boat.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a waste. I don't know. I don't like Melo at the Rockets. I don't like Melo's game in general. It was ugly. It was ugly to watch and it was a bit sad.
Just thought of a really funny, like, version of the Banana Boat song. Banana Boat, we waste possession. Banana Boat, we put up bad shots.
That's not bad.
Also, I think watching Trevor Ariza's...
Bad defense for hours.
Watching Trevor Ariza's first game for Phoenix and then watching Melo's first game for the Rockets was just like, why?
Whoops.
Why?
It'd be so sad if you're Daryl Morey.
Hey. You're just like, what? How have you improved? How have you improved by bringing in Melo and losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamuto? So, I don't know.
Houston are good. I like watching them in the playoffs when games matter. But just through the regular season, I dislike James Harden,
He plays boring basketball.
Yeah, here we go. Like, you just know what's going to come and he's going to get fouled 11 times. And kudos to him. He's not going to miss any of those free throws. He's really good at what he does.
See, that's the thing with him where it might sound like a weird take, but it's like he plays the game and not the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows how to play to his advantage.
He's the Floyd Mayweather of basketball.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey.
Ooh, juicy.
Yeah. Heaps good, but not exciting.
Yeah. I like how you're just putting him down when you're a Filipino Manny Pacquiao fan, presumably.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
Didn't fight him in his prime, bro.
Bro, Jeff Horn is your guy.
Don't dare mention Jeff Horn around Ted.
Jeff Horn, please.
The Hornet.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Just Jeff Horn's lovely.
He's taking on Anthony Mundine November 30th.
Your best boxer got defeated by a teacher.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
A really dumb teacher as well.
Whoa.
I'm refraining. I'm doing really well. It's not.
He's up in the Jeff Horn hate.
Yeah, yeah. This is an Australian podcast on us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeff Horn's hilarious because he's like a big boxer, but he's just like, oh, thanks, guys.
Bad.
Yeah, yeah. Got a funny voice.
He just likes beating up 40-year-olds.
I'm going to beat him,
man.
Yeah, it's not the podcast to talk about Jeff Horn, but yeah, the podcast.
We digress.
To talk about the Rockets and that was my dislike. Just being reminded, like, you know, what do we think an over under is for the Rockets this year? While we're on the topic, like 60 wins?
No,
I'm thinking more like 55.
They say yeah. 53, 55. Yeah,
yeah. I don't
think that's a big drop.
Yeah. I don't see where the Rockets got better. I really don't.
They just got worse.
Yeah, they got a couple pieces off the bench. James Ennis, I do like, but they got worse. Like, I don't think you can make the argument they got any better.
And the West got better around.
Then to build on that, because this is the Brick by Brick podcast, who takes the second spot this year in the West?
Ooh. Utah Jazz.
Yes, I'm all on that.
I'm not on that.
I'm very on that.
They're very good at home. They're very good at home.
Just think of how they're playing now without Donovan Mitchell playing well at all. I don't think he's going to go through a sophomore slump. I think he'll find his feet again.
Yeah, but is Ingles going to average 22 points a game?
He's not going to average 22, but like I said it yesterday on Twitter, like, semi-seriously, he might be the best player on that team.
That's the thing.
He has been for the last few games.
From the preseason onwards, he's been the most effective player on that team.
I kind of want to say something close to that, but I don't want to get ripped to shreds. I don't think Mitchell having a good game or a bad game, I don't think he's their most important player by any means. He might be their most talented player. He might be the dude that can go for 40 that no one else can on that Jazz roster. But I think Gobert and Joe Ingles are more important to that team. So yeah, see, Mitchell can shoot badly and have 15 points, and the Jazz can be better than a game where Mitchell goes for 40.
I think people sleep on Rubio too much as well. I think what he brings to the offense, just in terms of like patience.
He looked good running the offense yesterday.
Yeah, I think he brings a lot. They're a really well put together team.
Yeah, he hit a couple of good threes yesterday.
They go under everything, not realizing that he's got that shot now.
Mm. Yeah. They always remember that first game he played for Barcelona. I think it was against the Lakers, and he airballed like his first three shots. And they're like, Ricky Rubio, this is like the next big thing.
He was like a child then.
Yeah.
Dave Demichek.
He was like an actual legitimate child.
Dave Demichek, he does a podcast for the NFL Network. He has this term, Jenga piece, which is, and I think you're right, Mitchell isn't their Jenga piece. I think it's probably Gobert, right, because they're built so much around defense. When he is playing, I think they are the best defensive team in the NBA. Mm. So
I also think it's weird that, like, offensively, Ricky Rubio is the guy who runs the point. Donovan Mitchell is, like, supposedly their go-to scorer. But Australian bias aside, the most effective way to run their offense is a Joe Ingles pick and roll.
Yep. Yeah.
Every time. Something good happens every single time, and it's absurd that happens.
It was good to see. Like, he just looks more confident, more at home.
It looks like he's playing NBA basketball now.
Yeah.
Smoking Joe.
It's really fun to watch.
He's also the nicest person, which is very...
Mm. He's got a strong Twitter game as well.
He does, yeah. Mm.
And my vertical leap's better than his,
which is pretty hard to do.
It's heartwarming.
Harrison, we don't want to say this too much, but the Lakers play the Rockets this afternoon in what could be like an interesting game with regard to how a barometer sort of game. Harrison likes the Lakers. You don't like the Lakers small ball.
Hated it.
Why?
So as I said earlier, the Hornets small ball, that was really exciting to me. The Lakers rolled out a lineup with Kyle Kuzma at center, and
early too. I think it was the first spot off the bench.
Sucked.
I think
it was. It's not good. Mm. And, like, I look at this Lakers team now and, it's been, what, a game, two games? But Josh Hart, as you said last week, Josh Hart is so much more important to this team than people realize. Mm. I think...
Try to tell you guys.
Hogan is sitting there with a smug smile.
I'm just chest out, just like...
I like being right.
so much.
And we definitely weren't wrong. Brandon Ingram needs to be the second best player on that team. And,
oh, my God, he's skinny.
He's still
so skinny,
and he still looks good. But I think Kuzma, I'm not sold on Kuzma, and playing him at center is not effective at all.
The most
like the Blazers defended their small ball lineup with Lillard, McCollum, Stauskas, Aminu, and Zach Collins.
Shout out to Nick Stauskas for dropping 24 points.
Nick Stauskas was unreal.
He did 16 of their 18 points at like the second quarter.
Where did he come from?
And this Lakers lineup didn't work, and they made Zach Collins a second year big guy who I was really high on from the draft, and I've been telling everyone how good he was.
Harrison's really high on, like, too high on Zach Collins. It's
probably too high.
Worryingly.
Which means Zach Collins is going to be good at the one percenters, so I assume.
Maybe. And Collins finished with 6 points, 6 rebounds, 6 blocks, and 2 assists, and a team high plus minus of plus 24.
Settle down.
Wow.
Nurkic finished with minus 17.
I think he's bad.
So there's your starting center versus your backup center. Zach Collins is going to be a big player in the league, especially when teams try to go small. He's lost too much weight over the off season though. No,
he's looking too skinny.
No, because
Zach Collins, he's looking really gaunt. Like
he's always. Well, we've always mentioned his ghostly face.
It's scary.
Yeah,
that is something we have always mentioned.
Always okay,
every day,
every morning, I wake up. Zach Collins.
I mean, I talk about his game, but
I feel like I've mentioned his ghostly face before. He's just very thin.
It's creepy. Yeah.
No, but
not creepy,
he looks like the creepy thin guy from Charlie's Angels.
I feel like you took the opportunity to talk about Lakers small ball to then just speak about Zach Collins. How good, because a trash Lakers small ball lineup
is making role players on other teams look good.
The most frustrating thing about that for me is that last year they had the best small ball center that could have fit this system, and they let him go in Julius Randle.
Yeah. If you put him
at the five instead of Kyle Kuzma, that small ball lineup is just the dream for me. Yeah. You can have him at the five. You put Kuz at the four. You put Bron at the three. Was it Josh Hart at the two, and then Brandon Ingram at the one? That's not exactly a small lineup because Brandon Ingram's playing your one, but it's a running gun fast lineup that's going to put up threes and run the floor, and that will be juicy.
Yeah. Letting Julius Randle go was one of the weirdest decisions. Mm. Like, I think it'll come, not haunt them, but I think you'll notice it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever forgive them for that.
Did they just not re-sign Julius?
Yeah, he was a restricted free agent, and they were like, nah. We'll get Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee, and
they also treated him really badly in his final few years in LA.
Because he's only on $8.6 million, and I'm pretty sure Lakers are only spending the 20.
Yeah, he was on the rookie deal last year, and they didn't want to fork out the extra money. So
it's like they had the coin, because you're absolutely right. He helps our team immensely this season, especially you have a look at how he started for the Pelicans this year.
Yeah, well, the way he finished for the Lakers last year, he was killing it today.
He averaged 16 points a game.
Yeah, he's killing it. He's starting on the bench for New Orleans.
Yep.
He's getting starters minutes.
Yeah, but he's in the shout for sixth man of the year. Yeah. If he keeps on coming off 100%. The bench.
Big time.
So
it pains me to say it.
The thing that I didn't understand is, why are you playing Kuzma at the center? Why not LeBron?
He doesn't want to do it, right?
We had this
but
chat.
LeBron is the best 1 through 5. And if you put him, because like playing 5 out with that Lakers team, like LeBron isn't Giannis anymore. Giannis is 7 foot tall. His hands are bigger than this table. And it takes.
And this is a fairly large.
And it's 2 steps from the 3-point line, and he's getting fouled. So he's either going to the line, or he's getting a dunk. LeBron doesn't quite have that first step as much as Giannis does anymore. So if you put him on the low post, he's unguardable anyway, because you'd have to put a big on him to be strong enough. You'd have to put a guard on him to be quick enough. And he's one of the best passers that we've seen. So be a playmaker out of the low block.
And you got good ball handlers in Rondo and Ball as well that can...
Is it the defensive end that's the problem?
The problem is just the shooting around him.
Mm.
They shot horribly.
I think they missed their first 15 threes.
Yeah, they're just not.
They were winning the game, I think, at that point.
But we knew going in that they're not going to be a good shooting team.
Do they need Caldwell Pope to take a few more shots?
Yeah, they need him to leave. He was killing
opposite.
My fantasy team.
I'm so angry.
As in, like, how?
He's one of the few good defenders.
Yeah. I just don't see how he fits in that system. I don't know. But that's me.
How many games until Josh Hart starts at the two? As opposed to, well then.
I'm going
to
say 20 games in.
20 games? Yeah. I put it like 10 games in.
I reckon.
I think they're throw Josh Hart in for Kontavious Caldwell Pope.
You did.
It just makes so much more sense. Josh Hart's such a good
player. Shout out for Kontavious just like going to jail, like, in between games last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was, like, a narrative that just wasn't discussed enough. So, shout out to you.
Did he go on road games?
No. Yeah. So he wasn't
he,
allowed
to. He only got to play home games.
He went and played home games.
Essentially house arrest.
Exactly.
The NBA.
Yeah, big ups to the American justice system making lots of sense all the time. Tom, why didn't you like John Wall?
Okay, so...
Yeah, why didn't you like John Wall?
I'll explain my thought process with this one. Because when I was watching the games the other day, I was just jumping around from game to game trying to figure out what game I should be watching because there's so much going on. It's so hard to deal with. And I checked it. I saw the stats at halftime, and John Wall had... Was it 18 points on 12 shots and 4 assists, and no one else on the team had more than 6. Otto Porter and Bradley Beal had only shot 4 shots and 3 shots respectively. And I was like, is John Wall just dominating the ball again? Is he just trying to do too much? So I was like, before I make my judgment, I'll watch the game. And I watched the first half, and I was like, the problem's not John Wall. He's good. And I always knew he was good. That's why I was quite hesitant to bag him out. And I was like, all right. That's so it's not John Wall, it's the Wizards. I think the Wizards suck. So I was looking at them, I was like, I hate the Wizards. That's
what a journey.
I hate the Wizards. Because then I was like, it's not the Wizards' fault. It's not the players' fault. They're doing the best they can with what they have. It's Scott Brooks. Ooh. Scott Brooks and the organization themselves. Scott Brooks, his offense is so boring. There's no action off the ball. It's pretty much John Wall walks it up, tries to drive it in, kicks it to Markieff Morris. He'll pump fake it. Pumps it back to John Wall, who's standing at the top just waiting for it, and then he'll just do some ISO and chuck up a shot. That's it. There's no movement off the ball. There's nothing. And I'm like, I think Scott Brooks is a bad coach. I think he's a bad coach, and I hate him for it.
He's a bad man.
I hate him for it. And I think he's gotten too much respect from the fact that he took that Oklahoma City team to the finals because they had 3 MVPs on it. Yeah, I could take that team to the finals. Come on, guys. So I hate Scott Brooks. I think he needs to be fired, or the Wizards need to trade John Wall. Those are my two Ooh. Things. And the things I came up with was I did have a... All right, here we go. This is a bit fun. So the fun. Wizards fire Scott Brooks and they try to lure John Calipari away from Kentucky.
It's not happening.
Because he's coached John Wall before. Boogie Cousins is a free agent at the end of this year. They sign Boogie. That's... Boogie and Cousins back in together.
So wait, you're assuming Dwight Howard doesn't go off this year?
And then the trade option for John Wall. I'm gonna throw some trades at you. I'll throw them out. We'll just.
I'm very ready at the end of this segment. Let's just to shoot down it. Most of your things. I got you.
Yeah. Whoa.
Slow. No, you go ahead.
Hey. Wait. Let me have my moment
in the trade machine yet?
No.
Do we know if they work?
No. This is just purely for fun for me.
All right. We don't know the books. We don't know the money.
No. So money aside, it's just based on personnel and draft picks. All right, like that.
Okay.
So we trade John Wall.
Trade John Wall
for
LeBron.
To the Suns.
What are you saying?
Let's try to keep it realistic, all right? Let's try to keep it realistic.
Things matter.
Get your head out of the gutter, kid. Get your head out of the gutter.
Things matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So we trade John Wall to the Suns for Mikal Bridges and Eli Okobo.
Sure.
And 2 second round picks and their 2022 first round pick. Does that make the Suns immediately better and make them into a playoff team?
Well, definitely make
whilst
them
also giving the
Not necessarily a playoff team,
Wizards young talent and future draft picks to build a better team in the future.
So obviously the Suns are better because you're replacing Eli Okobo with John Wall.
Yeah.
That solves
their point guard issue.
Replace most
but
point guards
enough,
with John Wall.
Is it enough in return for the Wizards to be like, yeah, that makes sense?
I mean, like, that number one pick is really cool, but in 2022,
yeah.
Well, like, that's not
yeah, the,
be a
the
great
problem
pick.
Was with
but
that one is
valuable.
That the
2 second round picks is,
yeah, the Suns
again, valuable,
have their
but not
first
so
round
much.
Picks are locked up by the Bucks for the next few
thing
years.
The thing is, the Suns are going to be good in 2022.
So.
Yeah. Mikal Bridges is nice, but he's not John Wall.
Yeah exactly.
Phoenix do have the cap room, if anyone cares.
Exactly. All right, second trade.
So no.
Yeah, that one doesn't work.
Good one.
Crossed it off the list. Second trade. Straight trade. I just threw my pen. John Wall for Jimmy Butler. Straight up. Just swap him.
So
solves everyone's problems.
You're rolling a Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler backcourt?
Yeah, that was. I think Bradley Beal becomes a more dominant ball player and they get more movement off it because they move the ball really well.
So you're saying that you don't like Scott Brooks as a coach, so the answer is to not have a point guard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was right there.
That's my perfect example of that. Okay. See, that one was just, and then you can figure out, there's probably another, maybe Shaq on.
Butler, Beal, and Howard in the one dressing room. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'll be like the Wizards dressing rooms of old. I feel like.
Well, I don't think John Wall and Bradley Beal. I don't think John Wall and Bradley Beal like each other.
Yeah, that's.
I really don't think
they. No, I think they like each other until they realize that they aren't as good as they think they are, and then they don't like each other because they blame each other for not being as good as they
genuinely
think,
they're the best back.
Exactly. Yeah. But then they lose, and they're like, "Oh, that was your."
The dude on the commentary the other day during that game was like, "I want to give Bradley Beal and John Wall big ups. They've been. It's surprising to say they've been together for 7 years." And I was like, "Holy shit, 7 years! That's a long time." He's like, the one best thing they've both said about each other is they can finally talk to each other and talk about things and like talk things out. And I was like, if you can only do that after 7 years, what have you been doing? What have you been doing this entire time?
But they've made progress.
Yeah, great. What kind of progress?
It's getting even better. They're talking.
Now, this is my favorite trade. And the one that I think actually might work. You guys ready?
So you just threw out the other ones?
Okay. Yeah, the Jimmy Butler one was just for fun because I wanted to trade Dream Butler somewhere, and someone has to do it.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
All right, so we trade Ricky Rubio and Grayson Allen with some draft picks for John Wall.
Just some draft picks. Yeah.
I'm like, was there some just like 2 seconds? Two second draft picks.
I don't like it.
Don't like it. It gives the Wizards a pass first point guard and young talent in Grayson Allen, and it gives the Jazz.
I don't like it for the Jazz.
Yeah, like the Jazz. Dynamic point
Jazz
guard.
Don't do that.
Hmm? But I think they can do that.
Oh, they can.
I think John Wall can adapt his game.
Anyone can do things, but like, they won't do that.
Yeah, so you don't have to be a dick about it, all right?
Okay, just real quick, to shut down your last thing, Cal's not leaving Kentucky. That's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if he left Kentucky, does he want a John Wall, Boogie Cousins team? Do you think that's like the safest, securest place for him to go? I don't think so.
Definitely not, but it's the most fun. That's for sure.
Okay. He's getting paid like $10 million a year on the books at Kentucky.
I thought we were here to have fun.
And then also, the Wizards have played one game.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what I'm going.
There was the whole conversation last year. It was the whole conversation last year.
I'm just saying they played one game.
Yeah, but they played an entire year last year, the exact same. But,
yeah, they made the playoffs last year, which...
Yeah, I mean, I think making the playoffs isn't.
I think like
anymore.
teams can grow.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tom's allowed to hate Scott.
Like, yeah, exactly. I can hate Scott Brooks.
He's no Steve Clifford.
I mean, I think you. It's got hair. Washington.
I like them both.
Washington kind of irked me as well, but I think we have to wait and see until Dwight Howard's played.
Right, that's the huge thing.
Full disclaimer,
though, on this whole podcast
is that obviously we know we have to wait and see on all these takes. Like, it's just totally shit out fresh. Like,
it's been one
off
game.
Off the
cuff,
like fun takes. Don't get too offended if we have offended you. Yeah. It'll be fine.
And it will also get worse.
Okay.
Only for Scott Brooks.
However, on that, and I'm more than happy to die by this take, Markel Fultz shouldn't be starting.
No.
This is our final thing of this podcast. This is what I hated about this past week of basketball. Markel Fultz is a starter. I don't think he should be starting right now for this team.
And that's fine.
So you put JJ back in there?
Yeah.
But Celtics shredded JJ in the playoffs last year. Do you think like they're gonna continue with Fultz starting or was
I think
it,
I think
that
make
was
that
scared
change
from the Celtics?
No. As in, I think they started Fultz because they want their number one overall pick to grow.
And there's a chance like he was salty during last year's playoffs as well because he got a lot of DMPs. And especially watching Tatum, the dude that was drafted after him, like shredding his team. I think there's almost like almost a way of apologizing.
I get that. But the thing is like, in the playoffs, you're not there to grow your young players. You're there to win.
Yeah, yeah, but like I'm just...
And so
TJ
McConnell was just easily more productive.
From his perspective.
Totally.
The thing I struggle with the Fultz situation is him starting doesn't actually make sense for either him or the team.
Right.
Like it doesn't make sense for him playing with Ben and Embiid.
Exactly.
Because, having a backcourt that can't shoot is problematic.
And, and you've got Embiid in the lane. You've got Simmons, who they seem to be trying to put in more of a block situation when he doesn't have the ball, low, high post. And Fultz just has no space to operate. Put him with the second unit. Let him be put your name in the ring for a sixth man of the year.
Mm. Yeah.
I feel like that makes a lot more sense than... Than putting him with Simmons and Embiid and expecting him to develop or grow at all.
Yeah, like last year's starting five for the Sixers was literally the most effective starting five in the league. It was the most had the best net rating of any starting five.
What was their end of season tally? Consecutive wins, like 16 or 17 games?
Yeah, they won 17 in a row.
Weird that you changed that. Yeah.
So JJ Redick, obviously, you know what that brings. It's a dude who stretches the floor as good as anyone in the league. And having that next dude, Rob Covington, who's another guy who stretches the floor. But next to your point guard, who is one of the best slashing point guards in the league. And Joel Embiid, who is one of the best big men in the league in general. You want to stretch the floor, but instead you just have Marco Fultz out there who no one's guarding. You can't throw the ball into the post because no one's guarding Marco Fultz and his dude's just hovering. You can't do anything with that. So I don't understand the reason why they don't just put JJ Redick in the starting lineup, put Marco Fultz in the second unit, let him lead that, let him grow and, you know, get rid of these yips in that second unit where there's not as much pressure, but there's still as much opportunity.
Yeah. There's more opportunity for him in that second unit.
Just give him the ball and say, run. Tuck in.
Just think of that second. That second unit is.
Unit can be his team.
Totally. That second unit's like, you got Landry Shamet, who's a really cool shooter. You got TJ McConnell, who's a hustle dude. Amir Johnson, who's a hustle dude. Why not put Marco Fultz, who has the talent of a number one overall pick, just to run the unit?
I think the only thing they're worried about with that second unit is now that they lost Bellinelli and lost Ilyasova, is that there is no shooting, apart from Shamet, on that second unit.
Shamet's
a
rookie.
You throw Marco Fultz in there, and there's no one that can shoot on that second
unit. Right now with no Mike Muscala.
Exactly.
And then Wilson Chandler, who's not an amazing shooter, but he's a competent shooter.
He's all right, so you got Marco Fultz leading that second unit, which is fun and all, but it's like...
You're also missing leadership too.
What is that going to look like?
Before we put a bow on it, do you think the lack of outside scoring is a result of them going through most of the offseason without a GM? Do you think if they had a capable GM throughout that whole period, that they would have someone in the second unit that could stretch the floor? Or
I think it affected them. I think they're leaning on Mike Muscala to be that guy,
and Wilson Chandler as well.
I don't think I don't think they're betting a lot on Jonah Bolden as a 3-point shooter at this point, as a player at this point.
I
think they're hoping that Marco Fultz finds something, anything.
I don't think the best version of the 76ers is with Fultz, Simmons, and Embiid on the roster.
As in on the roster or on the court?
I'm going to say on the roster. I think...
As in, like, obviously, Fultz, if they drafted, like, Jason Tatum over Marco Fultz, they'd be a better team.
Of course. I mean, like, now going forward. I don't mean retrospectively. Put Fultz with the second unit. Let him go nuts with the second unit to the point where someone is looking at him being like, you know what? Him and the Sixers pick, then they still have another first-round pick as well, I think. Like, you can get a good player for that.
So you're thinking use him as a trade piece?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they will either. I'm just saying I think...
I get the thinking behind it.
They do have an avenue for it, though, given that it's a new GM. You know, like, he is a first overall pick, but with the new GM being in there, it's not my pick.
But then, again, I think that works the opposite way. I think Elton Brand would be hesitant to trade the number one overall pick.
Okay.
As in, like, that's a big thing to pull the trigger on, especially if you're a new GM. You've been there for, like, 2 weeks. You stopped playing basketball, like, a year ago. Like,
okay, before we put a bow on it, can you imagine Klay Thompson on the Philly team? Make that happen.
I mean, that's very possible. Hey,
make that happen.
That would mean it's okay to put JJ Redick on the bench.
Now it's okay.
Yeah, that would make it completely fine. Is that it? We've gone through a lot considering it's been like less than a week of basketball.
One game, apparently, says you.
The Wizards have played one game.
So many numbers. When everyone listens to this, they will have played two. So, if our takes were wrong, let us know.
Again, thank you everyone for joining us. We hope you had a laugh like we did. We hope you learned something like we all did as well. If you like this, head to iTunes, subscribe, leave a review, leave a nice review.
And a rating.
Leave a rating, a 5-star rating. And a nice review.
4, if you like. We have room for improvement.
Yeah, listen to Gutty.
Don't listen.
And follow me on Twitter.
Tom on Twitter at It's Tom Hanley.
I don't tweet.
Harrison's on Twitter as well.
I don't know my handle.
Don't follow Harrison. I'm at Olga Nulish. Gutty's at Gutty _ Telovitz.
I think so. Yeah, that's right.
Either way, just search us on Google. On Twitter, you'll find us.
Or Google. Try.
Yeah, this has been Brick by Brick. We hope you've enjoyed it with us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks,
Bye.